from the biography of Shmuel Shapira, Odoni Asarat, on page 155, dancing in the middle of the bombings. We're talking about 1948, 1947, 1948 in the old city, and so Shmuel lived. And they were bombed by the Arab League, came from Jordan. And in those days, were revealed by Shmuel such expressions of cleanness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu completely, that it became even stronger when Malach HaMoed was right there. Could have died any moment there in the old city. Ooh, look. He had like a feeling that this world, which is this garbage can, which is called Olam Hazeh, it's not separating so much between us and the next world, because they are bombing all the time and people are dying right and left. Right? And therefore, I don't know if that therefore, no? So in those mornings, after davening the breast of Shtibel, there was still the sounds of the sounds of the bombs shooting, right? Shmuel used to dance. So people told him, what are you, crazy? You're all in danger here. You're dancing. So Shmuel closed his eyes and smiled and said, one day we'll come and we're going to lie with our feet to the door. Because when someone dies, like we said all the time, you take him out of the house with the feet first. When someone's born, you come out with the head first, hopefully. Not if you use a C-section. A lot of times. And then when you die, they take a person out of the house with his legs. Also, a person's buried, his legs to Yerushalayim. That's how it is. Anyways, they said, what's the big difference? This day, tomorrow. Anyways, we're going to die. Let's dance. It's like that's what the Chilonim say. The Goyim say. The Goyim say. Yeah. Because tomorrow we'll die. Enjoy the day. Have a good time. That's what we say also. Enjoy, sit and learn.
What the Romans used to say, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die.
Ah, that's what I meant.
That's what the gladiators would say the day right before they go into
the fight
to the death.
Yeah, so we say the same thing. But regarding, like Abedu said, why don't you take to yourself, eat a little bit Tehillim, drink a little bit Mishnayos every day, prepare yourself. Yeah. That's our food. That was a beautiful expression to the way of the aspect of Shmuel grasps this world and the death. Death is nothing. What's death? When you live, you do what you have to do, and then you die, okay? Go to Hashem. He didn't see that we're gonna die, oh, what's gonna be? People are all frightened. He's like, I don't know. If Hashem wants me here now, I'm dancing here now. If he doesn't want me, he'll take me. Yeah? Once when Shmuel said to Yaakov Miller Shechter, he told him, "Mibchina ruchanit, Shavuot elu ishtemun mod." He told him, spiritual wise, it was worth it for me, those weeks that they were in siege and bombings and everything. Why? Because if Shmuel said, me, many things bother me. Right? Kids are crying, they're frightened. But nothing bothered me. I was just with Hashem. Nothing bothered me in those days. The old city, in fire and water. When there was the Tzumosher HaMatzor, right? When the siege was on, strong. Kibel Rav Shmuel Mivrak Bahul. Bnei Mishpachto Mitgoreim Berech Hadashah. Rav Shmuel received a Mivrak. I don't know how you say Mivrak, because when you send they used to send, like you send a few words.
A telegram?
Yeah. He received a telegram, emergency telegram from the family. In the old city, in the new city, the Shechunat Knesset, right near the old, right near the Shuk, which they said it's possible for us to take you and your family out of the old, out of the Jewish quarter. Tell us if you want. Shmuel said, "No, no way. Why? So we can still go down to the Kotel. How am I going to leave the Kotel? I can leave the Kotel." Shmuel said, and he said, "If you want, you can take my family, but I'm staying here." Rav Shmuel's obligations were different than everyone else's. He's the Kotel. How can I leave the Kotel? That's his obligation. But on the other hand, he had kibud em. His mother was a widow, right? And she wanted him out of there, right? So he blessed his mother. Please don't ask me to leave. I don't want to stumble at kibud em. I don't want to stumble in not respecting you, not listening to you. Please don't ask me to leave. Yeah. So whenever it was still possible, Shmuel used to go in the middle of the night, Chatzot, midnight, to the Kotel HaMaravi, to serve Hashem. It was obvious to him, no bullet of a legion guy, right? It doesn't belong, it's not aimed for someone who comes Chatzot at night to cry for the Shechina in the Kotel. That was obvious, right? That's why it wasn't frightening. There were also, even the British soldiers that used to go back and forth here in the old city, they got used to this bent, skinny guy used to go to the old city, to the Kotel every night. And when they used to walk, he used to say, "Oh, he's the holy guy's coming down." Yeah. Anyways, and also practically it helped him. Why? After a while, so he goes every night, they figure out where he comes out, which house, where he stays. And they just stand there at midnight and escort him to the Kotel and guard him so the arrows don't kill him. Did he go Chatzot? Then he come back. Unbelievable. It's the whole night. The soldiers just stand with him. And then here, you want to see the old city then? Very little. Very small. Can't see really the whole thing, but it was very small here. It's a British soldier with two Jewish people speaking. There's a wall, there's a house of an Arab, there's a house there also on the other side.
Uh-huh.
And there's a little wall, it was 7 meters wide or something, really small. Mm-hmm. I like that. Yeah. Yep, so the Jewish quarter was surrounded already for 2 months, or a few months. No Jew in, no Jew out. And on Chodesh Nisan, yeah, it was your birthday, it was still bombing and everything.
1948.
And there was a lot of Jews were killed already, and there was hardly any fighting from the Jewish side. Who was born? Shimon Shapira here. Shimon Shapira, when he was a young boy. Yeah, see? Shimon Shapira was born. Okay, great Simcha. The fifth child. Problem is, where's the Mayel? There was no Mayel in the old city. The Mayel lived in the new city. What are they going to do? The only way, the only connection to the new city was the UN. Yimach Shemam V'Zichram. The UN, you're recording this, right? Good.
You want to translate that?
The name should be disgraced and erased.
Thank you.
So, of course, obviously they don't really care about the bris. They're the only ones who could make a connection, but they didn't really care for the bris. Christians, right? So, but somehow the Moel, the Chezkel Lezel, heard about this and he said, "I'm going in." He said, "We're a very old man." He was like 80 years old. He said, "I'm going in. I don't care. Find a way." So before he went in, he went to Rabbi Yossi Tzvi Dushinsky, the first Dushinsky Rebbe, and he gave me a bracha. He told him, "The way back, I'm not worried. I'm already old. Maximum I'll get killed. But the way in, I want a bracha for that. I'll succeed and I'll do the bris." Right? So, anyways, you got a bracha for that. Now, all those days, the family say, Shmuel cried that they were married to do the bris on time. Some say that he fasted the whole week. I don't know exactly. Anyways, and no, listen to the crazy story here that happened. In those days, there was still caravans of foods going back and forth to bring some food. Until where? Till Shaar Tzion, the Arabs already were in Shaar Yafo, they took over. So the food used to go to Shaar Tzion, this is the next one over, south. And southeast a little bit, yeah. So they put him on there, they registered him as if he's working for people. But then he was allowed to go in. Yeah. Anyways, and he was able to get in. Nachman Shlomo Yitzchak, the oldest son, he died already, he died last year in Erev Pesach, he died, he was 76. Then he was 12 years old, and he's walking in the street, and then he sees the mail. So he ran quickly to where his father was, in the shelter, and he told him. So once he heard that the mail is coming, Shmuel is a... very high, anyways. So then there was a little stop in the bombings, and until right away they got the mail together and everyone, they went to the shul in the afternoon of Tuesday, Tet Be'yah. And how could it be Tet Be'yah? What day was it for?
Nisan.
No, it doesn't make sense. One second.
48.
One second. Where was the picture of it doesn't make sense the dates that you put it, it doesn't make a difference, but it wasn't Tet Be'yah, I took it to, it wasn't on time. It wasn't time, it just wasn't time. I think Tet Nisan or something, or Chet Nisan or something. Whatever. They did the bris and they called him Shimon Yisrael. He goes see him, he's sitting in the shul right now, learning Daf Yomi, I think. And after the bris, they went down to the bomb shelter. You have to be all the time in the bomb shelter there. And almost all the time. And then they had a suda, some bread, whatever they made, something small. And then they washed their hands, they're eating, and suddenly there was a great blast. And the shul, where they just had the bris, is gone. 2 minutes before, 3 minutes before, 5 minutes before. The shul was there, gone. Completely. But people didn't know what happened to Becheska. Becheska, he didn't come to the, he went to the bris and he disappeared. After the war, when Shmuel Shapiro was also in captivity by the Jordanians, and so afterwards, when he came back, he saw Rabbi Cheska in the mile there. He said, "How did he get out?" He said, "I started walking towards Shaar Yafo, and the soldier came over to me and said, 'What are you doing out at such a time? It's evening.'" He said, "No, I came to do a bris. I'm a mile." He told the soldiers, I don't know, some British soldier. He saw I'm an old man. He took me out and I walked to the room. Top said, tomorrow we'll continue some stories. And that's a shame.